theology proper, which is the study of God the Father. The study of God the Father. You should have clarity, and you should be gaining clarity about what the Bible teaches about God the Father. You should have clarity about what the Bible teaches about the Bible. It's authoritative, it's inerrant, it's inspired by God, it's clear, etc. Now we are understanding what the Bible teaches about God the Father. And we really, we had to start where it all starts, that God exists. So we talked about the existence of God. Then we moved into the fact that God is knowable. You can know God, the Bible says. And then thirdly, but that he's incomprehensible. We can't know everything about him. So before we get into then the specific attributes of God, those are just kind of some preliminary things. He exists, we can know him, and we can't fully know everything about him. Before we move into the specific attributes, we are going to talk about his names, and we've started with one name already. And so that's kind of where we sit. The Bible tells us about God through the names that it gives God, right? And we talked about one name already. Tanner, why don't you just sing it out? All right. That's the name we've talked about already, right? Everyone say, what is the name we've talked about first? Yahweh. Literally meaning, this is the name that the Bible gives God. This is not a title. This is his name. This is to what he should be called by name. God wants to be known personally. And so he wants his people to know his name and to call him by name. His name he gives is Yahweh, which really means he is. It means he will be. It means he wills to be. The idea is that he is. And what does this mean? Well, there's no beginning. I'm just summarizing, because if you were here last week, we talked about it extensively. No beginning, no end, right? No beginning, no end, okay? He's ever present. Also, wills to be. He derived from himself. He was not created, right? He derives from himself. So when Moses asks the Lord, what should I say if they ask who sent me? God gives his name and says, this is what I should be remembered as. And the answer, and the name is I am. He is. He wills to be. He will be. No beginning, no end, ever present, never changing. He's derived from himself, and so this is his name. And this tells us, really, that this is the eternal God who was never created, who has always existed, will continue to exist, and he derives from himself. Meaning, in summary, he's God, right? He's God. The Lord describes being God in various ways. And so when you see in the New Testament, generally when you see Lord in all caps, the name Yahweh is being used, okay? In the New Testament, the word Yahweh is being used in the New Testament. So this is God's name, and it speaks to his having no beginning, no end, being ever present and deriving from himself. He's eternal and he exists. He is. It really also speaks of his, the fact that he can't be compared to anything, right? He is who he is. God in that way is, we talk about God's incommunicable attributes, which means they're attributes that he doesn't share with anything or anything else or anyone else. Incommunicable means they are alone attributed to him. And so what could God call himself or compare himself to that would accurately portray who he is besides himself, right? And so this is what God calls himself. Now we're going to move into this name today, El or Elohim. And we're only going to cover four names or so before we move into the attributes, but El being singular and Elohim being plural. And you would say, why would God give himself a name that is plural and it doesn't refer to the Trinity? So it's a good question, although it works with the Trinity. But the name El or Elohim, which this name was the first name or the first title of God that we are that we're given, name or title of God that we're ever given. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And this is the name here that we're given for God. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. So this is the first picture that we're given of God, or the first name that we're given of God in all of Scripture is El, or the plural form of it is Elohim. And what it means is it implies a true God. He's a true God. And the way it means that is by describing him as the God of power and strength and might. And so he's the true God, the one who has all the power, all the strength, or all the might, if that makes sense. So not only is he eternal, he's self-existent, he never changes, he is, and he will be. He never came into existence. He derived from himself. He's ever present. He's got no beginning, no end. But he's also the true God in the sense that he has all the power, all the strength, and all the might. So let's look at some of these verses that speak of God this way. Genesis 31, you can turn there. Genesis 31, verse 13. Genesis 31, verse 13. It says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go from this land and return to the land of your kindred. That's the word used there, is El. And it's, he's the true God. He's the true God, and specifically the one with the power, the one with the strength, the one with the might. Genesis 46. Genesis 46, verse 3. Then he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. Once again, the true God. I am the true God. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. You can turn there. Verse 20. Psalm 68, verse 20 says, our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. He's the true God. He's the one with all the might, all the power, all the strength. Psalm 77, verse 14. Psalm 77, verse 14 says, you are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. And so this is the name that God gives himself, the true God. And so why is it used in plural? Well, it's used in plural to describe the intensity, not necessarily the fact that he is plural. The intensity of it is so vast that a plural name is appropriate for his might, his strength, his power. It's not referring to God's being one God, but in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, speaking to the vastness of his power and might. And so throughout the scriptures, it's El and Elohim are used interchangeably, which speaks to the fact that when Elohim is used, it's not speaking of other gods in addition to God. It's using, they're used interchangeably, meaning they're referring to the same person. And so this is who God is. And so there's some modifiers, and this is the last thing we're going to learn about El. There's oftentimes modifiers in the scripture that when making a compound with El, describe various aspects of this true God of might and power. And so you're probably familiar with some of these, but El Shaddai, right? El Shaddai. Now be careful on this one because some people get it wrong. Typically, what is used is that speaks of what? What do people typically use this for? You know? How do they typically translate it? It's provision, right? That speaking of God's provision. But it really speaks of God's omnipotence specifically. So this literally means true God, the true God, the Almighty. True God Almighty. And so the true God who has all the power, all the might, all the authority, he's almighty. When you see El Shaddai. So it modifies that first one, that first word, El. And so there are also instances of his provision when you see this word. You can turn to Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God, what? Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And so there's El Shaddai there being used, where God is the true God, but it's the Almighty One. So then there's El Elyon, which is the true God most high, speaking of his supreme sovereignty. This is Numbers 24:16. Numbers 24:16 is one example. You can turn there. Numbers 24:16. The oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. The word that's used in that verse, the compound word El Elyon, meaning the true God, the one who is supremely sovereign, most high, right? There's El Olam, which is El again, the true God of might and power, right? Of strength. But then Olam gives it the idea that he's everlasting, so he's eternal, right? Isaiah 40, you guys know this one probably really well, but turn there, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is what? You guys don't know this one by heart? The everlasting God. What it's speaking of here is he's the true God, El, right? The one with all the might. He's the one with all the power. He's with all the one with all the strength. And this true God is everlasting. Okay? There's more compounds with El, but that's the idea. is that he's the true God, or Elohim. He's the true God, the God who possesses the power, the strength, the might. And that's what the translation is when that word or name is used for God in those instances. This just highlights the fact that he's God. You have to understand, these aren't necessarily attributes. They're almost definitions in a sense of God. Yahweh, he is, he's self-existent. He's never changing. He will always be. No one created him. He can't be compared to anything else. El, he's the true God of the one who possesses all might, all power, all strength, right? These are names are, in a sense, definitions or descriptions of God. No one possesses these characteristics besides God himself. And so, I think what our response to then is to this then is really that we would submit under his authority, that we would trust in his power and strength, that we would desire to live for him, that we would understand he's the only one worthy of worship, that we would obey him, and that also that we would love him because of who he is. And so let this not just be just head knowledge, but let this be something that leads you to a place of worship. So let me pray for us. Father, we come and we just ask you to help us to respond to you and to your names, that we would have some clarity. I'm just trying to build a small foundation without going into all the technicalities of how this all works. But I would like us to just have a general knowledge and understanding that you exist, that you're knowable, that you're incomprehensible, that one of your names is Yahweh, and one of your names is El, and that we, therefore, would have an understanding about what the Bible teaches about you. Help us, going back to the very beginning, to become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching that is the Scriptures, and let all of this make us into sanctified people who are pleasing to you and have real clear understanding about what the Bible teaches. In Jesus' name, amen.